Good morning, good morning. I want to invite you to stand with us as we sing and worship this morning. Saturday was silent, surely it was through. Since when has impossible ever stopped you? Friday's disappointment is Sunday's empty tomb. Since when has impossible ever stopped you? This is the sound of dry bones rattling. This is the praise make a dead man walk again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. This is the sound of dry bones rattling.
Scripture is when God says go to that valley dry bone, he said, I'm going to do it. It won't be anything you do, but I'm going to do it. And that's what we've experienced at VBS this week. God has done something in our midst in several different levels. One of it is thank you for sending your children and letting us get to know them. Thank you for coming back this morning. And it's been a joy. And then the other side of this is we've met some new families, new people. That's been great. And then just the body of Christ working together. There's a joy that I believe the Lord has. He said where they will know that you are mine. They'll know you're my disciples by the way you love one another. God has done something at several levels this week. And so you're here to rejoice with us about that. And I'm going to have to look at my bulletin. The verse for this morning that I wanted to read came from Psalms 104, and it says, may my meditation be pleasing to him. I rejoice in the Lord. And I want you to, I ask you, invite you to rejoice with us, because that's what we're doing this morning. The T-shirts were donated, and so we're glad some of our children. If some got left out, listen, it was just because that was not a part of the regular plan. It came into existence in the middle or near the end of the week, and there was a lot of hard work getting it done. So we'll work on, we'll see and get some others. Probably if you were left out, don't feel left out. We'll catch up with you. Listen, the order of the worship's a little bit different today, and that's okay. We're going to flow with it. You're going to pretty much, though, see already this is a song we sang during VBS, okay? So we did praise and worship, and then there's some special songs that our children really learn. We're going to see that, and then we're going to have a presentation, a picture slideshow, and then Pastor Tom's going to lead us in just reflecting on just God's grace and parenting and family and those things that we are so blessed with. Let me pray, and then our praise team is going to lead us. So everything you're seeing really just happened. This is what we've been doing. If you didn't get, as a parent, we wanted to show you what was going on every evening. So that's what's going to happen right after I close this prayer. Heavenly Father, we're very thankful that we had this opportunity this week to see you do something like you did in the Valley of Dry Bones. Father, we all look back and we say we couldn't have done it. So you've done something, and we rejoice in it today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, children, won't y'all head you this way? And youth workers, have a seat, moms and dads. But let me tell you, the word Jireh, it comes from Jehovah Jireh. And I checked to make sure that means provider. And did you notice, moms and dads, I want you to notice something. Your children sang about that. And they can understand and know that God's enough. And sometimes we as parents need to understand that. It's not just coming to God and asking, but it's He's enough, Himself, His presence. You know, your children can understand that. They can grasp that. And you'd be, I was amazed at how many children knew that. And they expressed it with some of their physical lifting up their hands. They already knew the song. And so, but God's enough. When He's enough, you got it all. And so we're so glad. Now, don't pay attention to what's going on behind me. How can you not? This is going to be great. So you've already seen what they... So we did praise and worship, okay? And then our music team and our whole praise and worship team worked together to do the music. And then they went to Bible. They went to Bible. And we're so proud. Thank you, Bible teachers, everybody that was part of that. And then I'm going to get in trouble naming names. But every station then carried the theme of the week. And so this is going to be great, okay? Y'all let me know when I need to be quiet. You ready? How about tech? And our tech team up there, man, they were so... This has been a... Yeah, let's do it. I'm going to name a few other team leaders, but there were so many people involved. I think that's part of the joy this morning that we work together as a body of Christ this time and enjoy this, okay? I'm going to get out of the way.
Thank you. has ever lived. His life as a gift for me and you. Only one has ever died and rose again back to life for me and you.
Man, you know, did you hear the words to that? That's only something God can do. We're back to the dry bones. God said, I'm going to do something. And we really believe we had 31 days of prayer for Bible school. Many of you saw on our Facebook, it was prayer points. And we were praying that God would do something that he could only get credit for. And so it's happened, and I think we will see that fruit for many years. Parents, I just can't say enough. We are glad to supplement, and that's all. The really learning about God and being trained in the ways of the Lord starts at home. We can supplement you. We want to, and that's what our getting together, our tithes and offering does, is it allows us to supplement what we want to encourage you parents to be doing at home. So thank you. We're glad to. Now we're going to see a presentation. And I'm telling you, every bit of this looks so easy. But the music looks so smooth. You wouldn't believe the number of times of practice. The presentation, the same thing. So I'm going to just say thanks, everybody. So watch and see. Again, these are just pictures and slides from VBS. I'm getting signals, and I don't know if they're telling me to sit down or raise the screen down. All right, let's do it. Are we ready?
Spark Studios.
Sometimes I wonder, is he faithful? Does he see me in my trouble? Does he understand? question if he's able. Can he rescue? Can he save me again and again? But when I look back, did he move every mountain? Did he part every sea? Yes, he did. So yes, he can. Did he defeat the darkness? Did he deliver me? Yes, he did. So yes, he can. Oh, yes, he did. So yes, he can. 'Cause sometimes those voices try to tell me I'm forgotten.
Why? Because they like the painting one.
I like them all.
So
I
know.
Yes.
The little ones were like, we're painting?
My favorite craft was the Spark Studio picture.
So what has been your favorite game of VBS?
Ooh. Juggernaut dodgeball.
Yeah. Juggernaut dodgeball. Protect the prisoners. It's fun. But it's Juggernaut.
It's a lot more fun to just peg a bunch of little kids.
Madeline, what was your favorite craft at Bible school?
Our paint.
What was it?
Our paint, painting around the cross.
What has been your favorite game?
Ships and Sailors.
Protect the President.
Sophia, what was your favorite snack?
Pigs in a blanket and goldfish.
Alexis, what was your favorite Bible study?
It was when Jesus rode into the Jerusalem with the donkey.
What's been your favorite snack to prepare for the kids?
Pigs in a blanket, I think.
Yes.
It's
the
biggest hit.
Awesome. And...
Oh, popcorn.
Did you
popcorn?
Did you enjoy the rally today?
Yes.
Bryson, what was your favorite song?
Only One.
Only One. How about you, Akili?
Only One.
Diana, what was your favorite snack at Bible school?
Pigs in a blanket.
What has been your favorite thing about VBS?
Making music.
Playing music with the band. Awesome playing.
Yeah, playing music and seeing all the kids sing.
for you.
Hey, we can hear. Well, good morning. It's great to see everybody here this morning. If you don't know me, my name is Pastor Tom Wilson. I'm one of the pastors here at the church. I do most of our preaching, and man, I'll tell you, it's been a pleasure this week to see the kids. I'll tell you, two things really stood out to me this week as we were up here. One is how engaged the kids were in learning the gospel. And man, we're not here just to entertain. Trust me, they were entertained. As you can tell, I realized we're definitely Gentiles. Like, Pig in the Blankets was the hit. I was like, all right. I'm just telling you, next year, Pig in the Bacon, and I'm telling you, we're going to up our game. Secondly is the number of people in our body that was involved in the work of the ministry. I mean, if you just watch the video, yeah, I mean, it really, man, it was a pleasure to see. And we got to just to fellowship together even as adults. I'll tell you, one of the great things, we held VBS during the evening hours. You know how many dads were up here? Because they didn't have to be at work, they could come here, and so we saw families working together to minister to these kids, and that was just so powerful. Well, as you saw or can see, somewhere, there it is behind me, the theme this week was Spark Studios, and was really about creativity and really teaching the kids about what God did in His created design. And so they learned five basic truths, one each day. One was that the first was that God is our creator. The second is that God is our designer. The third was that Jesus is the King. And that fourth, Jesus is our Redeemer. And the last day was that the Holy Spirit, that third person of the Trinity, is our helper, that He leads us to Christ. Well, if you look at the logo, what you'll see there is that the motto, go back, guys, there, it says, created in Christ and designed for God's purpose. And that was based on Ephesians 2:10. And this morning, I just want to spend a few minutes to talk about those two basic truths that are captured in Ephesians 2:10, that we are created in Christ and that we are designed for God's purpose. So you'll see our first truth is that we are created in Christ. Now, this comes from the focus verse from Ephesians 2:10, where you'll see that it reads that, for we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. But there's a question that arises when you read this verse, because when you pull it out of Ephesians, all you see is we. And the question becomes, who is we? Now, don't say that too many times, because that'll break your brain. On some of your English people are going, hold a minute, that just doesn't sound right. Because the we goes with are and a verb noun agreement. Don't spend too much time thinking about that, but just stick with me. Who is we, or who is the we? Well, in Ephesians, when you read the book of Ephesians, what you find out at the very beginning is that the we is Paul. In the Ephesians, he writes that Paul, there in Ephesians 1:1, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God to the saints who are in Ephesus. The we that Paul defines here is himself, as well as, and you'll notice he says, the saints who are in Ephesus. Then you begin to question, okay, I know who Paul is. Here's this guy in the early church, in the early first century, writing a letter, because that's what Ephesians is. It's an epistle, as we call it, a letter. And he writes that letter to these recipients that he calls the saints at Ephesus. Now, Ephesians 2, verses 4 and 5 helps us to understand what he means by that word, saints. Who are these people? And he writes in Ephesians 2, 4 and 5, but God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. You see, what Ephesians 2 helps us understand is that the saints in Ephesus are these people in Ephesus that had been made alive together with Christ. And that was done by the grace of God. He saved them. So when we look at the way we can answer that, we are those who have been saved by God. The we here in Ephesians is we are those who have been saved by God. But this leads to the second question that gets at our second truth. If the we is those who have been saved by God, that also asks the question, what are we created or designed for? Right? Now, our motto reminds us, the second truth is that we are designed for God's purpose. We are created and designed for His purpose. Ephesians 2:10 helps us to fill that out some more. And you'll see there in Ephesians 2:10, it says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus." Why? For good works. You see, what we can say it as a basic answer is that we are saved, that is to be created in Christ Jesus, for good works. But not just any good works. There's a lot of good works that we can do. But notice how Paul describes what those good works are. He says in Ephesians 2:10 that we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. Which good works? Which God prepared beforehand for what purpose? That we should walk in them. You see, it's not just any good works, because there's a lot of good works we can do. But very specifically, we are to walk in the good works that God Himself has prepared for us. That's the good works we're to walk in. We are created and designed to walk in God's good works, the ones He prepared for us to walk in. There's a lot of good we can do in this world, but if we're not doing the good that God has set out for us to do, we don't accomplish God's purpose. See, but there's even a bigger reason. Why did God create us to walk in these good works? What is God's ultimate purpose for us, for saving us to walk in these good works, right? He said, I mean, you read there in Ephesians 2:10, you're created to walk in these good works that God has prepared beforehand for us. But what does that accomplish? What does it do for us to walk in good works? Well, if you read back before Ephesians 2:10 and Ephesians 2:4-7, this helps us. It helps us understand what is the purpose for us to walking in these good works. And we'll see, because then he follows in Ephesians 2:8-9, it also will help us understand what the purpose of those good works is not. The purpose of the good works, you see in Ephesians 2:4-7, says that God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. It is God who did that, not us. It says, and He raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Why? So that, and don't miss this, here's why God saved us. And here's why He has set out His good works before us. So that in the coming ages, right? Here Paul sees, he says, as the ages are coming, in the time that is to come, right? Not just in the coming age. Paul isn't just looking for the ultimate end. He's even looking in the time in which we walk now. In the coming ages, He might do what? Why does He save us? Why does He set us aside to walk in these good works that He established for us to walk in? So that He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. You see, God saves us to walk in His good works, to show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness in Christ. Notice why we walk in good works. Is the answer, is it so that we can save ourselves? Absolutely not. We walk in good works. The reason why we teach our children to walk in good works is not so they would think I can earn my keep with God. It's not so that we can think this is how I am saved. No, God establishes these so that we can walk in them, so that people can see His grace in our lives. Grace is not earned. Grace is unmerited. It is given and bestowed upon us because we don't deserve it, right? If I deserved it, that's not grace. You know what that is? That's wages. You owe it to me. But what God says is, I have established good works for you to walk in, to show to the world around you the immeasurable riches in Christ. That's why we walk in good works. But this thing goes back and it begs that question. So hold a minute. If the we is Paul and the saints at Ephesus, those who have been saved, how do I become part of the we? How do I become part of those who walk in such a way that it shows the immeasurable riches of Christ? Well, the way we become part of the we is actually answered right before verse 10 in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 reads, "For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one may boast." We are saved by grace through us placing our faith in the work of Christ. And in doing this, it means we can't boast about it because we didn't do it. God saved us. We sang about this morning. We describe it as a reckless love, not because our God is reckless, not because our God is out of control. We describe it that way because who in their right mind, as the song says, who in their right mind would leave the 99 to go find the one? See, the picture is such a powerful picture from the first century world. You usually would have hirelings who would care for your sheep. And you say, I'm going to hire you to take care of my sheep. And so you would be in this area, and the storm would arise, and danger would be there. I mean, you had to worry about wolves and bears, the taking your own life, the giving of your own life for these sheep. Now think about this. You have 99 sheep, you've lost one. Is it worth the risk of your life? You know what the answer to that for most of us is? 99 is pretty good, right? The one can be sacrificed. But the reason we describe this is, to us it appears reckless, because for us we would say that's not wise. But for God it is wise, that He would seek us to save us, even at the risk of His own life, and yes, at the cost of His own Son's life. You see, we're the one, each one of us, that can be left outside, left to our own death. But our God has chosen, when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, that by the grace of God, He would come and find us anyway, to say, this one needs to be saved. That is grace. You don't deserve it. But you know what? God did it anyway. And so what it tells us is that we are saved not by our works, but by God's works. Do you see the contrast there in Ephesians chapter 2? Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, how are we saved? You are saved by grace through faith. That it ultimately is not of your works. You can't talk about it or boast about it. You can't brag about it, because God did it. You see, those works that you do, notice what He's doing in the contrast and the corrective to the way we think in Ephesians 2. You would think, you know what? God created this great gift. Now go earn it, right? You've probably done that, where you set something aside and you give someone a goal and like, look, if you achieve a certain thing, I'll give this to you. But that's not what Paul says here in Ephesians, does he? What does he say? God gives it to you as a gift, as an unrestrained, unearned gift. I give you salvation. And if you wish to have it, you must place your faith in my Son. And notice how in what he says is, so what do you do work, don't you? Yes, I do. There actually are good works that I work, but he corrects us in Ephesians 2:10. Those good works are what? They are prepared beforehand by God. He created those for us to walk in as well, but they are a response to being in the we. It is not the way you become part of the we. You see, the way you become part of the we is that you do it by grace through faith. I become part of the we who've been saved by God by placing my faith in Jesus Christ. That is what Ephesians 2:8 and 9 tells us. I don't ever earn my way into or earn my keep to stay part of the we. If you are part of the saved, it is because it is God's gift to you and you've placed your faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. So what does it mean? How do I place my faith in Christ? There's two basic ideas that I want to leave with you. Two basic words, acts, of what it means to place faith in Christ, to become part of the we. First, I must believe. I must believe. I must believe in what God says about me. And what did Paul just say earlier? You are dead in your trespasses and sin. See, what the Bible says is true about each one of us is that we are dead men and women walking. You are dead. And as I've said before in a previous sermon, what do dead people do? Nothing. They bring you no value. And what the Bible says about us is we are incapable of saving ourselves. Not kind of, not mostly, but it is entirely incapable of saving ourselves. We have to believe that. If you believe, you know what? What I need is I need a lot of God and a little bit of me, and that'll get me saved. You're wrong. So you have to believe what the Bible says about us. That without God, we can do nothing. Especially save ourselves. Secondly, we have to believe in what God says I deserve. The Bible's very clear. What I deserve in my rebellion against God, what we call sin, what I rightly deserve is one and only one thing: God's wrath, his punishment upon my life. Not just for a little bit, but for all eternity. I have to believe that's true. Otherwise, I say, well, you know what? Maybe I can wait it out and it will get better. And what the Bible says is you can wait it out and it will only get worse. So I have to believe in what he says about me and what I deserve. And I have to believe in who Jesus is. I have to believe that Jesus truly is what the Bible says he is. That he is fully God and that he is fully man. That he is the one, as the writer of Hebrews says, that is without sin and therefore can stand in our place as the sacrifice on our behalf. What it tells me is not only am I not qualified to stand for myself before God, none of the rest of us are either. There is, as the song says, only one, and that is Jesus Christ. And I have to believe who he is, that he is fully God and fully man, that he lived on this earth and never committed sin. That's what the writer of Hebrews tells us as well. He is like us in every way, fully human, with one exception. He never sinned. And now we have one who is one of us that can stand before God as a sacrifice in our place so that we might be saved. And see, not only have to believe that, I have to believe that what he has done, right? He's qualified to be the sacrifice, but that's not enough. Because if you're only qualified to be the sacrifice, but you never stand to sacrifice in my place, you know what that means? I had hope, but it was never realized. But what the Bible tells us is that Jesus Christ, in fact, literally died on a cross for our sins as the act of sacrifice on our behalf to pay for the rightful due that Father had for our sin against him. And he reconciles us to God. I have to believe this is true. If I don't believe that's true, it does not matter. If I say I trust in Jesus, I don't believe this. I've trusted in some other Jesus. Not the real Jesus. I've trusted in some Jesus of my own creation. But what I have to believe is to believe in the Jesus of the Bible, what God has said, who he is, what he has done, who I am, and what I have done and deserve. The second thing, then, is this. It is not sufficient to believe these things to be true. What does Ephesians 2, 8, 9 say? I must, what? Be saved by grace through faith. That act of faith is an act of trust. I have to believe, as the song says, there's truly only one. Jesus alone saves me. Notice the number one. It is not Jesus plus you. It is Jesus alone. To place my faith in Christ as I believe not only that what the Bible says is true about me, that I rightly deserve what God says that I do deserve for my sin and rebellion against him, sin, that I truly believe in who Jesus is, and that I truly believe in what Jesus has done on my behalf. But then it says, I must place my trust in that and say, Jesus, I believe you have died in my place, and therefore I am reconciled to God because of it. And there is nothing I can do but place my faith in you. So then, what does that tell us? Once I am saved, once I have placed my faith in Christ, then I can walk in God's good works that he prepared beforehand for me to walk in to show his immeasurable riches in Christ. Notice the order. I walk in those good works when? After I have placed my faith in Christ. Not so that I can earn my place to put my faith in Christ. You see, what we learn over and over, there is no sin so great that you have to dig yourself out of the hole before God will save you. Because what we know is that every sin is so great that we cannot dig ourselves out of that hole. You see, as humans, we tend to create the scale of sin because different sins have different temporal consequences. But every one of them is an offense against the holy God. It says, if you want to come to me, all you can do is throw yourself at my mercy and say, I believe that your son died for me. So who is the we? The we are those who have been saved by God. How do I become part of the we? I become part of the we by placing my faith in Jesus Christ. And why do I become part of the we? I become part of the we to walk in God's good works, to show God's immeasurable riches in Christ. Father, I thank you. And I pray that the words that these children have sung and have been taught this week, that as they've even literally sung the words of Ephesians 2:10 as a song, God may be ingrained in their hearts and their mind so they would know it is true. That you created them, and Father, that you lead them to Christ through the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives, that they might embrace him as their Savior and Lord, that they might show in living out the good works that you've established, the immeasurable riches in Christ. God, I pray there may be adults here that do not know Christ. Father, they may have bought in God His work plus my work equals salvation. Father, weigh heavy on their hearts that they would know the only way that they might be saved is by placing their faith in Christ alone. Father, I pray that you would use these words out of Ephesians and as we've shared this morning in such a way that it would lead those to Christ that do not know him. And it would remind us, as those that do know him, that what we do is not earn our salvation, but display its glorious and measurable worth in Christ. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and by the Holy Spirit, amen. Let me encourage you this morning. If you have not placed your faith in Christ, and you have questions or just need more guidance on that, pastors will be around. You're going to see Pastor Earl, I'm here. Pastor Dennis is here. Pastor Rigo's in the back as well. Pull one of us aside. Say, I want the immeasurable riches of Christ. And we will speak with you and talk to you about, do you really believe who you are and who Jesus is? And do you really trust that Jesus' work on the cross has saved you? This morning, we're going to sing together as a time of response. Some of us will be up front. If you'd like to come during this time, you can catch us after the service is in. Share with us so we can share Christ with you. So as we sing together in this time of response, if you'd like to walk up front, we'll be up front. But after service, if you'd like to catch us after service as well.
Chases me down, fights to shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me.
Amen. Thank you. Remain standing. This is the close. But let me, you know, we've got a prodigal father. You've heard of the prodigal son, but that recklessness of God is not that Pastor Tom said he's out of control, but he, what seems wasteful to us is so important to him. He looks for us. I want to encourage you. This is what we are as a church. I'm glad that those that are visiting, those who are regular members, let's keep praying for each other. And, you know, as also during the message, just thinking about how God's good works through us parents are lived out before our children. That's what they looked and they modeled what was going on here. And our prayer is for you and our families that you live out the good works that God has produces in you and through you because you are saved. We want to compliment that in the ministry of the Hills Church. Okay, this is closing, and I there's so many people to miss out. I'm just going to recognize some leaders here. Ronnie DeShields was the Bible school director, but he's also a first responder, and he was called out and worked in Uvalde during that time, and so we just thank him for what he's done and was able to do. And then he wasn't able to finish that out. And then just a quick list here, please, and I'm going to pray, and we're going to thank you for being here. And nursery and preschool, Debbie Cash. Amen. Woo! Yeah. And now look, every one of these names have about five or six people under them that served, okay? These are just team leaders. Bible, Dion Wilson. And, yeah, Crafts, Rachel Sorrows and Kay DeShields. Yeah. Music, Katie Aguilar and Shaylin. Yes, Rude. Yep. Snack, Sue Granberry and her team. Yeah. Pigs in a Blanket. Let's hear it. Yeah. Decoration in our picture presentation was Amy Shearhart. Yeah. Recreation was by Kyle Sorrows, and we thank you for that and the help that he had. Registration, Tracy Taliano. Yeah, yeah. Grounds and lockup and cleanup is Anthony Granberry and Ronnie DeShield Sr. And then our youth. We were really proud for our youth this week. Amen. And then we've already recognized, guys, the tech team. Thank you so much. Justin Shearhart, Anthony Granberry again also. Okay, so if you had a camper in VBS, they did crafts, and that is over in the next building in the lower level door. There's several ways to get there, but we'll show you. If you had a camper, go by there, and they're already there, and they will give you, your child knows where that room's at. Pick up the artwork that they did today, and that will bless us and bless them too. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. We lift our praise up to you for all that you're done, have done, and will do. Amen. Go by and pick up your...
Saturday was silent. Surely it was through. Since when has impossible ever stopped you? Friday's disappointment and Sunday's empty tomb. Since when has impossible ever stopped you? This is the sound of dry bones rattling. This is the praise make a dead man walk again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. This is the sound of dry bones rattling.
Put a crust of fire, stirring something new. Your
wishes to praise make the dead man walk again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. This is the sound of dry bones rattling. Great, I'm home.